remind council to push the button so we can hear you and those watching online can hear you.
Now we're going to try to the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. We do have a few recommended changes to today's agenda. Under Todd Lawson, County Administrator, the public interview of Planning and Zoning Commission nominees. As you can see, Mr. Riley is not here today, and I believe Mrs. Green also has a new nominee. So for the sake of those two items, we should probably delay that for 1 week.
Sure. Yep.
And we'll strike that from the agenda. And I believe we have some grant requests that need to come off as well. Under grant request number 5, West Rehoboth Community Land Trust needs to come off. Ms. Jennings, is that it? That's it. Those are my recommended changes, Mr. President.
Entertained motion to approve the amended agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second.
Sorry.
Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
No.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Now, Mr. Lawson, we're going to jump on the agenda, my friend. Do all this other stuff. We're going to move right to your top thing for recognizing Delaware State Police so they can get out of here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. As you can see, we are joined by several of the men and women in blue. They are here today to receive a tribute from the Sussex County Council, a proclamation from the Sussex County Council, honoring the Delaware State Police 100th anniversary. So I have a proclamation that I'd like to read, and then we will invite the majors to come forward and deliver the proclamation. So proclamation to honor the Delaware State Police 100th anniversary, whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize these organizations that have achieved outstanding accomplishments and made significant contributions to the community. And the Delaware State Police in 2023 celebrates its centennial anniversary of service to the citizens of Sussex County and the First State. The Delaware State Police has grown and prospered tremendously in its 100 years of existence. From its humble beginnings as the first statewide force providing mostly traffic enforcement on the state's road system to becoming a full-fledged law enforcement agency that today is charged with criminal investigation, aviation support, executive protection, community outreach, among other duties. The Delaware State Police, through the dedication and professionalism of its 700-plus full-time officers, now represents the largest police force in Delaware. Delaware State Police, as the primary law enforcement agency in Sussex County, has been a valued partner with county government the past 3 decades through agreements that have enhanced policing coverage and made for a safer community for all citizens to enjoy. The Delaware State Police exemplifies the ideals of courage, duty, honor, selflessness, and service to others. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby proclaims July 11th, 2023 as a time to honor the Delaware State Police as the community and its people celebrate them on 100 years of dedicated service to the First State, signed by all 5 members of the County Council. Mr. President, can I ask you to present this proclamation to Major Crotty and Major Moriani? Sure. Gentlemen, would you like to come forward, please?
I know how you feel, Sean.
Just on the behalf of Colonel Melissa Zebley, who unfortunately could not be here today, we sincerely thank you for honoring us on our centennial year. We look forward to continued partnership with Sussex County throughout our next century of policing. And again, very sincerely, thank you for taking your moment out of your busy agenda today to honor us, the State Police. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for being here. Thank you. We certainly appreciate our cooperation with you guys and girls, and thank you for all you do for us every day. Thank you very much. And you certainly can stay as long as you'd like, or you can leave as soon as you want. It's entirely up to the major. You got this over here, yeah, that's fine. We have the minutes of June 27th. Any questions, corrections? Thank you all very much for coming. They'll be stand approved. Reading correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Mr. President, we do not have any correspondence.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council? Okay, we'll move to public comment. Mr. Guy, hold up. We got anybody signed up to speak? We do, apparently. Now's the time for public comments. You can come to the front when I call your name, and you have 3 minutes to speak to something, the council, something we have some control of and interest in. There's a timer up here. You see a green light when you start talking, amber light, you got a minute left, and green light, red light comes on, you are through your comments. Let's see, who's the first person here? Michelle Williams? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Williams, and I'm from Lewis. Thanks for allowing me to make public comment on behalf of the Sussex Housing Group. There have been other volunteers from our group providing information regarding housing affordability over the past few weeks and today.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
please start over.
All righty. Good morning. I'm Michelle Williams from Lewis. Thank you for allowing me to make public comment on behalf of the Sussex Housing Group. There have been other volunteers from our group providing information regarding affordable housing over the past few weeks, and today you have me. We volunteer as a partnership representing public and private sectors, nonprofits, and other community-based organizations. Our mission is to foster safe, affordable, and fair housing and build a community based on the power of people and place. Our advocacy efforts work with data to gather evidence-based solutions to housing issues in this county. These issues are being experienced by everybody across the country, so examining what is working across the country may be helpful here. Often you may hear about X number of housing units that are needed over the next X years, but what does that data really mean to you other than a gee whiz data point? It doesn't give you enough information to provide an effective strategy or action plan. The Sussex Housing Group is here to help. We received a tiny amount of funding from Housing Alliance Delaware to produce a Sussex County specific study that will provide the most current data to analyze our housing situation. So early next month, each council member will receive a detailed report about your district overlaid on the census tract data. Your handout indicates this, this map. This housing-focused data will include things like population, number of housing units based on the area median income, rental costs, home prices, etc. And since I'm the one doing the study, I have some flexibility in this study to add a few collated data points. So if you have a burning question that keeps you up at night, please contact me so I can attempt to add those data elements into our study to give you some answers. I also want to give a huge shout out to Sussex County employees John Norris and Dave Rittenhouse that provided parcel level data so this study can be as accurate and as actionable as possible. So although folks call me Dr. Tiny because of my focus on tiny houses and small scale development, my intention is always to provide and help you with large-scale solutions for our county's housing affordability and availability issues. Thank you for your engagement, and I look forward to moving us forward.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Don Miller. Don Miller, please come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go.
My name's Don Miller. I'm a land surveyor and have been so since 1974. So I've been through an awful lot of changes in the county code, the subdivision code. And this morning I would like to address those things. The determination or definition between a major or minor subdivision really needs to be addressed and changed. The best thing for me to do is to give you a couple of recent examples. First, Lorraine Brown, who owns property near Greenwood, simply wanted to cut a lot out of her property so her daughter could have a home. Because her lot, her new lot, would exceed the number of homes that have all, lots that had already been subdivided off a private road, it was deemed that this was going to be a major subdivision. This woman had to shell out, hasn't yet, she's saving her money, $1,000 for this exorbitant fee. Her situation compelled me to come before you this morning. I think this is not a good situation. Secondly, a lady near Seaford, Brittany Pinuel, had a one-acre lot that she wanted to sell. That 1 acre had been kept as part of the parent tract. All around this 1 acre had been subdivided. There were different tax map parcels that bordered up against her. She simply wanted to sell this lot, but because that lot exceeded the number of lots that would be allowed out of the parent tract, she had to pay $1,000 because it was deemed a major subdivision. It was interesting that one of the commissioners at that hearing remarked, "Why is this even here?" Well, it's too late for either of these ladies to have their subdivisions defined as minor, but there certainly will be others in the future. The determination of a major subdivision should be when 5 lots are subdivided and where a new interior street is to be constructed, period. A minor subdivision should be defined as 1 to 4 lots subdivided from an existing parcel of land, regardless of the number of lots that have already been subdivided. Certainly would want to continue with proof of acceptable soils or septic systems, but should not be required to do a wetland delineation. My goodness, you couldn't have the septic system in wetlands, so it would speak for itself. A minor subdivision on a private road should not require a letter of no objection from the highway department. In Mrs. Brown's case, we had to submit a letter, a request for the letter. But to do so, the state highway department wants topographic survey 500 feet up and down the road. Not her road, but the public road that her private road leads from.
If you could close up, sir, we'd appreciate it. Your time's up, but you could just close when you...
Okay. Well, all I can say is, Mr. Vincent, please proceed with a design change.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Renita Harmon.
Hi, I'm Renita Harmon. Just rented me a place in Lincoln, but I'm here because every person that I have talked to about the law that you cannot live in an RV and it can only be used as a storage, not one person has told me that they know about this law, let alone that it's going to cost you a $100 fine. And also, when we get talking about this, everybody feels the same way. There needs to be a law or some kind of regulation on how much a landlord can raise your rent. And I have been a landlord before. I bought a trailer, single wide, one bedroom. I rented it out. The tenants tore it up in 2 months. So I understand landlords. But you got to understand also, if you rent a house too expensive, it takes 2 months for Mother Nature to take your house. The trees, the grass, and everything. So really, you're tearing up your house by raising the rent to $1,500, $2,000, and nobody can afford it. I have not talked to one person who doesn't agree with me. And everybody's shocked. Like, I told to Dave Wilson at the auction, he said, are you pulling my leg? I said, I Googled. I didn't believe it myself. To the constable come out there to me and gave me a violation, and then they done came back again and put a sticky note on the door. I done signed a lease at my new place, and they're still coming back talking like they're going to give a violation like I'm living in it, and I'm not. They said I could use it as storage, that an RV can only be used as storage. So I'm abiding by the law and still, you know, because of other family members and stuff and people, you know, I've been doing nothing but trying to help my family. And you know what? It's been paying off. I found out you pay forward, you do good, you get good. And that's why I got blessed with a house, $700 a month. Church woman came to me. But like I said, we need these laws changed. I'm telling you, it's going to put us in a crisis. Y'all building all these big, beautiful houses. Nobody can't afford $2,000 a month. Think about it. You know, and are we going to pay the kids rent? No. We can't do that forever. What happens when the next virus break out? We need somewhere to put people so they can quarantine, not in our house, but in the camper. But this law is prevented. And everybody I talk to, nobody knows about it. And you know my mouth, I'm going to keep talking to them. The more people don't know, after I'm done, I'll have the whole state of Delaware know. And we need to change it. It's going to help us. Ellendale didn't used to get tornadoes. Did that not shock anybody besides me, that a tornado can just come through, tear off half of your house, and now all of a sudden you're homeless? And your camper you got, you can't live in it. Whether you drive here or drive there, you can't live in it. And people said, no, that can't be true. I said, Google like I did. I've been looking in the Sussex Guide. I've been looking on Tulip. I don't understand it. Why would you want to, it's like a car. If you don't drive it, it's going to tear up. A house, you don't live in it, it tears up on its own. Big houses, they decline faster. At least a camper is easy to fix and replace. Next tornado will come, we can jump in that camper and go. But if we got it all packed up with junk and we can't get up and go when we need to go, we're just crippling ourselves. I see the red light.
Thank you. Michael Wolf.
Good morning. My name is Michael Wolf. I live in Lewis, Delaware. I'm a resident in Lewis, Delaware, near Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road. I'm here to make comments about the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. This is from the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan Vision Statement. The vision statement sets the overall tone for a comprehensive plan and sets the direction the plan is to take in the future based on local input and desires. Also from the plan, this is from the mission statement, the vision statement. Sussex County will balance the welfare of its citizens and its role as an agricultural, tourism, and business leader with the most appropriate uses of land, water, and other resources. Unfettered interconnectivity can be a danger to the welfare of communities, which is in direct contradiction to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan vision statement. The Sussex County Comprehensive Plan speaks to taking actions necessary to address unforeseen circumstances involving the public's health, safety, and welfare. Interconnectivity, if not implemented properly, can be flawed. Hazardous conditions may result from interconnectivity when safety considerations are not thought out completely. Interconnectivity is not synonymous with cut-through, but rather means providing a safer and more efficient means of traveling through our communities. Uncontrolled through traffic is a danger to our communities. The county's comprehensive plan recognizes that implementing interconnectivity properly is essential. Otherwise, the detriments of interconnectivity will outweigh any advantages. On page 13-37, the plan acknowledges that interconnectivity can increase through traffic on residential streets. To avoid the safety hazards resulting from such through traffic, the comprehensive plan goes on to say There are ways to plan and design connector roads better to avoid or minimize through traffic impacts on residential streets. Managing interconductivity through the use of fire roads with siren-activated arms and gates, for example, allow for interconductivity of communities for life safety vehicles, bikers, walkers, and runners without forcing cut-through traffic through residential neighborhoods not designed for through traffic. Uncontrolled through traffic is a danger to neighborhood playgrounds, schools, community centers, pools, and sports facilities due to excessive traffic traversing community intersections and amenity entrances used by adults and children. Recent Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission recommendations now awaiting Sussex County Council approval.
Mr. President, I would ask that he stop now.
You got to stop right there.
What you're discussing is a case that's pending before County Council. The record has been closed on this, and we cannot consider anything else. And I would ask County Council to, when you make your decision on this, to disregard any of the comments.
Thank you, sir. Howard Berger.
All the council. Thank
you. Morning.
Thank you for hearing me. My name is Howard Berger. I reside in Lewis, near the intersection of Gills Neck Road and Kings Highway. I'm speaking both as a resident of Sussex County and as a former land use planner with the County Planning Commission. My personal and professional experience is that it is essential for local officials to consider safety when reviewing development proposals. An otherwise appropriate development proposal can create safety hazards and therefore should not be approved if its details do not eliminate or at least minimize adverse effects of automobile and other traffic. The county's comprehensive plan recognizes that the county council should eliminate or at least minimize safety risks and other effects of automobile and other traffic before approving any development project. I agree with the plan's focus on safety and encourage the council to follow the plan's guidance in this regard when considering any and all development proposals.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Operator, you check online, please, for any public comments.
If there is anyone on the line who would like to make a public comment, please dial 5-star. We have Jill on the line. Jill, your line is open.
Good morning. My name is Jill Hicks. I live in Lewis. I cannot be in chambers today because my grandsons are here, and right now I'm the only adult in the house. I am dismayed and troubled that P&Z went ahead and discontinued the ability for people to call in. I am asking the county council step in and reinstitute planning and zoning's call-in service, therefore granting the right for everyone, regardless of their situation, to be heard. Please make this correction. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, there is currently no one else on the line.
Thank you. We will close public comments. Move on to the consent agenda. We have three items. Use of existing sewer infrastructure agreement IUA 389-3, Coastal Tide Building 7, West Rehoboth Area. Use of existing sewer infrastructure agreement IUA CU 2316, Southern Delaware Medical Center LLC, West Rehoboth Area. And use of existing sewer infrastructure agreement IUA 1191, Black Oak, Glenwood Housing Knapp, West Rehoboth Area. Any questions on those? If not, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I would get motion carried. Now then, I think, Mr. Lawson, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. President. We did put together a quick PowerPoint to help guide the presentation on the legislative session wrap up. As always, we were happy to see the General Assembly come to a conclusion, and I would say with limited damage this year, so that's always a good thing for us. However, there were some bills we were following or that we were asking for that did see some action, and I wanted to provide an update today on that. There was a memo in your packet that referenced this, so I just made this PowerPoint to follow along on that list. They're not in any particular order. So first piece of legislation that a lot of stakeholders in the state had watched because it had been considered over many General Assemblies is the Marijuana Control Act. There was two bills related to marijuana, one of them in dealing with the criminal side and the other one dealing with the ability to establish marijuana activities. The one that the county is concerned about is this one, HB 2, which establishes legal marijuana activities, including cultivation facilities, product manufacturing, testing, and retail stores. Interestingly, in the bill that passed, a municipality is allowed to prohibit marijuana operations within its town limits. And you can see already some towns in Sussex County have taken action to do just that. However, counties were not afforded that ability. And in particular, there was language in the bill that said a county may enact ordinances that do not conflict with any regulations established by this act, including governing the time, place, manner, and number of operations within the county's jurisdictions. So that clearly tells us that these types of facilities will be allowed in the unincorporated county areas. We've asked our legal staff to take a look at the bill and come back to council with a report on just what could be done if you have concerns related to marijuana facilities that could be established within the county jurisdiction. So I anticipate seeing that in the weeks to months to come. The good news is we have over a year until this will be enacted, so there is time for us to prepare. Next bill was House Bill 62, reassessment. You can see in the screen the yellow letters tells you the status of the of this bill. This bill passed and is ready for governor action or governor signature. This is something we worked on. They actually incorporated language that Ms. Jennings requested, establishing the time periods for reassessment. This requires all three counties to reassess in the same sequence of 5 years, and the language that Ms. Jennings assisted with created the period in which they will reassess, which starts on the date that a county board of assessment adopts the certification of the completion of a general assessment. As you know, there's several parts of Delaware Code that still need addressing. We're gonna work on that next General Assembly as we wrap up our reassessment and begin the tedious aspect of that, which includes the appeal process for reassessment. Senate Bill 120 involving realty transfer tax was enacted. This expands the categories of the use of RTT and includes now for the purposes of workforce and affordable housing programs. This was a bill that Senator Buxton put forward and received support and was eventually enacted. So it just adds to the categories that all three counties can use for the use of RTT. House Bill 72, bidding thresholds, ready for governor's action. This aligns each of the county's government's contracting thresholds to match the state of Delaware's thresholds. All three counties had different thresholds, or some had the same. Didn't align with the states. This took all of that and put it in one bucket. Do you want to say anything about that, Ms. Jennings?
Sure. The other two counties, some of their thresholds were in Title IX, some of it was in 29. Ours were in Title IX, so we cleaned that all up, moved everything to Title 29, where all of our procurement is located in the state code. And this helps with inflation, things like that. The state constantly is changing their bidding thresholds. Ours was stagnant at 50,000. So now we have the opportunity. We just follow what the state does and what their procurement does up there in Dover.
Okay, that was a house cleaning bill really, and it just made for the contracting environment in the state to be aligned. House Bill 127, the fire protection fee, was reported out of committee. This is a bill that affects all three counties, providing each county with the ability to impose a fire protection fee if the council so chooses by enacting their own ordinances. The Representative Baumbach, the sponsor of this bill, did decide to delay this bill because the three counties went together to create a sustainability study, which Newcastle County is ushering out. It's actually on the street as we speak. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but the sustainability study will study the fire service statewide to see what the financial condition is of the fire service and the ambulance companies. Right now, that package is, like, as I said, on the street, and we expect to get proposals in and then eventually make a selection on who will usher that through. I don't.
Just a quick question.
Certainly.
If you're finished.
Go ahead.
Has Kent County agreed to participate
in the study? So what we decided to do, the answer is maybe. They want to see the proposals when they come back and then see exactly what proposals we have and how much they're going to cost. The good news is the state put $300,000 in Epilogue for funding for this. So hopefully that will help bring the cost down for all three counties. It was drafted in a way, go ahead, Ms. Jennings, that helps Kent County. Go ahead.
Correct. So it, originally it was all Newcastle County, then we added ours, Sussex County as the second level, and then Kent County as the third. And then we reworded the RFP to say the counties can opt out, but your bid includes A, B, and C. And then we have the option to opt out once we see the bids.
Are we able to review the RFP or the scope of the study?
Absolutely. Who's the we you're talking about? I guess.
Yeah, it's on the street as we speak.
You go on Newcastle County website, it's online. Yeah.
We can provide a copy.
I'm challenged.
I understand.
Okay, this next bill also had a legacy to it, Senate Bill 186, Volunteer School Assessment. It did pass this General Assembly. This is a bill that started last session with Senator Hansen, and then with the election of Senator Huxtable really took the reins on this initiative, and it ended up being a unique bill for just Sussex County. It provides the county with the ability to establish, again, by ordinance, county council ordinance, a volunteer school assessment for residential development. That's major subdivisions only. That's not single family homes. If a VSA is established in Sussex, the county council then may require the applicant to provide certification from the Department of Education that the school district has adequate capacity for the proposed development. In the other parts of the state where their VSA is already enacted, what that means is they charge a per unit voluntary school assessment. They assess on a per unit basis an amount of money that the developer pays as it relates to the impact on that school system. Something we don't do in Sussex. The county and the county council didn't really ask for this, but they saw fit to bring it forward. Again, it will require another step, which includes you, county council, enacting an ordinance that would allow you to take or to ask for certification from the DOE.
And is that a one-time cost?
It is a per-unit cost established by the Department of Education, and then as the units are brought online, so if it's a 100-unit subdivision, you're going to be charged per unit 100 times.
And that's by district, though, right?
It's by district. The money's collected by the DOE, and then the Department of Education, and then it will be issue to the district that it was collected in. So if it was a subdivision in the Indian River School District, then the Indian River School District gets that funding.
So DOE is just a pass-through?
It is. And the council really at some point is just the gatekeeper on whether or not the development has an impact on the district and whether or not you want to request DOE to ask for certification if there is capacity in that school district.
How do you establish how much?
Department of Education does that. And I do not know the formula for how that's established.
Because each school district is going to be drastically different income-wise.
Income-wise and activity-wise.
Yes.
In this county, we see a lot of the activity on the eastern side of the county, which impacts only a few districts. Where there's activity on the western side, it's not as much. They're not going to see this have much impact at all on them.
Okay. Thank you.
I think this will really generate some conversations between the superintendents. when they learn of this and whether or not they feel that their school districts have the capacity.
They already know it.
Yeah. You've been contacted.
I'm getting it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any other? Next is House Bill 246. Okay, so this General Assembly was the first session of a dual session, so any bill that didn't get acted on this session will go to the next session. This is one certainly that caught our attention at the end, House Bill 246. It involves riparian buffers. As I say here, we're monitoring this legislation. I would qualify this as a fairly drastic proposal related to riparian buffers. As you know, this county went through a major effort to address buffers a few years ago. We have our own buffer ordinance in place. This would usurp that and would require a 300-foot riparian buffer on areas related to tidal waters, marshes, and non-tidal freshwater bodies, including lakes, ponds, and blue-line streams. In addition, it requires the counties to establish a 50-foot riparian buffer to any stream, which is designated as a non-blue-line stream, creek, and drainage ditch. Drainage ditch in the agricultural community is a big red flag. In addition, if you read this bill, there's references to snowmobile and cross-country skiing, which tells me this is one of those deals where they got the legislation from another territory, cut and pasted it, and then introduced it in Delaware. Another red flag for me is the fact that the counties would be required to establish buffer requirements inside town limits if that town doesn't have an MS4 permit. I don't think we have the authority to do that, quite frankly. So that would be a legal question at the time that this bill starts to see any attention. I hope it doesn't. I was contacted. I've heard from some of you. You were contacted by the ag community and others that have great concerns about this. Next session, we will certainly be watching and hopefully working with the sponsors to see if there's any real intent to move this forward, and if there is, working with them to address these concerns. Any questions? One other bill that got dropped at the end of the session that got our attention, and I would say red flag, is House Bill 248, Pre-Permit Community Outreach. This requires an applicant that's seeking a permit with DENREC, and this reference to Title VII of Del Code, Section 6003, is the all-encompassing section that gives DENREC the authority to issue permits. So if you are doing business and you need a DENREC permit, and you're doing that in an underserved community or within 3 miles of an underserved community, you are going to have to comply with this new requirement, which they're calling community outreach. Those activities include identifying a facility community liaison, sending a mailer to all residents in the area, hosting one community meeting, and publishing the meeting info in at least one newspaper. The information you gather then goes into a report that you submit to DENREC as part of their permit review process. And I am taking a several-page bill and trying to truncate it into one slide. This is significant. It would hamper the county doing business because a lot of our sewer projects are under this authority. So anytime we're doing this, and you already are familiar with our public outreach that we do when we create or extend our sewer districts, this would create another layer of government, which quite frankly I think is perhaps very alarming. So we will be monitoring that next session as well. Questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
Are all, quote, underserved communities, are they already established and identified in Sussex County?
That's a great question. It's not clear by the bill. In our community development and housing department, yes, we have 11 or 13 underserved communities that are identified mm-hmm. in the housing world. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure by this definition that it's clear to us that we understand which underserved communities they're referencing.
Okay, thank you.
All right, wrapping up. On a financial side of things, we did see some real wins when it comes to the financial budget. In the state budget, we were able to get the additional troopers for Sussex County. That's one trooper in Sussex paid for by Sussex County each year and one paid for by the state. So two additional troopers in each year for the next 3 years for a total of 6 years. You are Six troopers over the next 3 years, two each. We tried to get that done last year. We thought we had it done and we ended up not seeing that through. This year, Speaker Schwarzkopf, Representative Short, really made sure that that got through. So we appreciate that. In the grant and aid section of the financial legislation, we did see an additional $1 million in addition to our normal paramedic funding above the normal 30%. So an additional $1 million. That's 2 years in a row that we've seen additional paramedic funding. Fire companies across numerous categories received additional funding, including categories such as how many ambulances and rescue boats that the fire companies own. As I mentioned, there's $300,000 in epilogue language for the fire study, for the county's fire sustainability study, and then $200,000 for the county's kitchen incubator. Of interest to Sussex, in the bond bill, $4 million for the Bay Beach Initiative. That's the restoration project that the Bay Beach Association, which the county's a member of, has worked so hard on over numerous years. $4 million this year, thanks to a couple of local legislators, including Representative Gray, to see that. $1 million for Sussex Seaford Economic Development, that's for the Western Sussex Business Campus. $4 million for a new troop in Georgetown for the DSP. $2.5 million for Fort Miles Museum. And then $918,000 for PFA foam reclamation. That's a legacy issue that we're dealing with for fire foam statewide. So that's funding to help with that. Any questions on this or any other legislative issues? All righty, thank you. Last item, County Administrator's Report for July 11th, 2023, item one, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the following projects have received substantial completion. Acadia Landing Phase 2A construction record effective June 12th. Peninsula Phase 11 Stillwaters Phase 1 construction record effective June 21st. And Peninsula Lakes Phase 13 construction record effective June 28th. Item 2, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will meet July 17th at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Administrative Office's West Complex, 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. A copy of the meeting agenda is attached. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Andrea Wall.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of council. A check in the amount of $38,898 has been received from the United States Department of the Interior Fish and Wildlife Service as a federal payment in lieu of taxes for the Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge. This check represents payments under the Refuge Revenue Sharing Act covering fiscal year 2022. The amount is calculated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service by prorating the total funds available for payment. This check is funded through revenues generated from the Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge and from a supplemental congressional appropriation. Sussex County may use these funds for any governmental purpose. The recommendation is to allocate these funds in the same percentage as other county tax collections as we have done in the past. If you don't have any questions, I have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the accounting department's recommended distribution of the Refuge Revenue Sharing Funds as follows. Milford School District, $7,717.84. Cape and Lopin School District, $24,986.19. Sussex Tech, $2,663.40. Sussex County, $3,160.05. And Sussex County Libraries, $370.52.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I will. Mr. Carey. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Medlarge.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Council members. We have three items on the agenda. First one, up Lockwood for the debt ordinance, supplemental borrowing. And so I gave you the summary here. The project is a three-stage project. It grew out of an initial developer project almost 10 years ago. Then we added Tux Road on, and then Sherwood Forest requested to be included. You've touched it a couple of times on the construction site side. Last, we awarded the project, which triggered the supplemental funding request, which we discussed with with the NRC, and they're expecting it to move forward. So the you touched on the financing side when you authorized the departments to apply for the funding, which was previously granted. You had the previous debt ordinance for the original, and now we have the supplemental, which will close it out and provide for loan forgiveness except for interest during construction. So this is only the only reason we touch this, because we have to have a debt instrument where we pay during construction, sure. Then it gets retired. So we do need a
four-fifths
introduction.
Yeah, an introduction. Mr. Moore, you want to read the short title?
Yes, Mr. President. An ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $2,036,840 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County in connection with increased costs associated with the Long Neck Community's Septic Elimination Project, and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
Move for adoption.
No, you want to introduce it?
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Hudson, introduce it. Thank you. Next person, Ed Lars.
We are pleased to close out the contract S20-07. And you've heard me talk about this numerous times. Heron Creek broken down in four contracts. And first one closed out for all the pump stations, the other three ongoing. However, we had initially a suspension under this contract for JGID. Then we had a request to exit at no fault. So this means there's no substantial completion associated with it, because it is going to get transferred over to the 08 contract, which is done by Teal Construction. So you see two action items under this here. One is the reduction of the JJID contract, and that is a larger amount. And the other one is the increase to the Teal, which is a smaller amount, because that's the net difference of the change orders under the JJID contract. So also includes a time extension under the Teal contract. And once we complete the Teal contract early next year, we would then have to have another balancing change order, which adjusts all the unit costs.
Sure. Yeah.
So this avoids litigation over the various claims we had and they had.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing, because that was definitely, but it was a very different, as you can see from the timeline.
Sure.
It took 8 months, nine months to get to this point. Because we would not get this on the agenda unless all punch list items are completed, and it was a
right.
It was a pass.
Okay. You have motions or
we
a motion?
We do have two.
Okay.
It's a combined motion.
Okay.
Be moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that final balancing change order number 6 for contract S20-07, Herring Creek Sanitary Sewer District North, Gravity Sewer Enforcement, be approved in the credit amount of $1,334,027.29, and that the project be closed out with any held retained release in accordance with the contract documents, contingent upon USDA concurrence.
Pleasure, Council.
So
motion, Mr. Schaefer, seconded.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I would yes, motion carried. Next.
The companion one is be it removed based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, that change order number 2 for contract S20-08, Heron Creek Sanitary Sewer District, South Gravity Sewer Enforcement, Phase 3, be approved, increasing the contract amount by $1,054,877, and the contract time be extended by 210 calendar days, contingent upon USDA concurrence.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I would yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
In the anticipation, and that is the bulk service agreement with Artesian Wastewater Resources, one of our oldest agreements, almost 8 years old, amended several times successfully. This deals with the anticipation of both entities connecting entire areas permanently with no intention of moving them back. So to take them out of the quarterly flow monitoring and just do an EDU equivalent exchange,
we're good.
We, that is Artesian in the engineering department, in consultation with the finance team, propose that we also track permanent EDUs. Very important on two fronts for us, Slaughter Beach and North Allendale, which all be permanently on the Artesian system. Equally important on the opposite side, their takeover from the Tidewater mm-hmm. wastewater resources, TESI. They will be permanently connected to the county system with no intentions of moving them back. So this is not like the other ones where we move things around sure. all the time. These are essentially we're utilizing the closest available infrastructure. So we changed that particular paragraph. There's still the accounting for the flow based is still in there, no change. And then there's the accounting for the permanent. Now, if there's an imbalance, and either entity wants to remove the imbalance or either pay for it or remove it, we can then move it to the flow based. Mm-hmm. But that would be on a 5-year basis, which really encompasses to capture North Allendale and Slaughter Beach, as well as the other transitions. So the timeline was picked on purpose for that reason. So everything sure. should be connected in 5 years and we can see where it all fell.
Good. You have a motion?
And it's effective July 1. It took so long, there were some, Artesian had some issues with
That's okay.
getting it all worked through their system.
You got there.
We got there. Be moved based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering and Finance Departments that the Sussex County Council approve addendum number 7 to the bulk wastewater service agreement between Sussex County and Artesian Wastewater Management Incorporated as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Sorry.
Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green,
yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I get motion carried. Thank you,
Thank
sir.
You.
Mr. Parker, appraisal services contract.
Good morning,
morning
Mr. President, council members. Quick hitter for me on this morning's agenda regarding our appraisal services contract. The contract's really set up to assist the engineering team with developing certified appraisal reports that are needed for our projects that involve property acquisitions. So the current contract was set to expire next month in August, so we crafted a request for proposal for a new contract. It was largely based on the one that we had from 2016 with the exception of one major change, and that was on the term. Instead of going with a 1-year award term with 5 1-year renewals, we just went with a straight 5-year award term. This is more consistent with our current open-end engineering and vendor on-call contracts that we have in place. So the RFP was advertised on May 26. On June 16th, we received a total of 3 proposals from CBRE Inc., another from W.R. McCain Associates, and a third proposal from Vista Realty Services. The Appraisal Services Selection Committee, which consists of myself, Hans Medlars, and Casey Wyden, reviewed and scored each proposal based on the 8 valuation criteria that's on your memo. So based on the results of the evaluation, the Appraisal Services Selection Committee recommends that the engineering department move forward to negotiate a new contract with W.R. McCain and Associates.
You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Appraisal Review Committee that the Sussex County Council approves the engineering department to negotiate a contract with W.R. McCain and Associates to provide appraisal services as needed for a period of 5 years effective August 1st, 2023.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Sorry.
Mr. Schaefer, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer. Mrs. Green,
yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I have a yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Westside New Beginnings. They're requesting $3,200 for their project safety streetlights. This organization has previously received two grant requests for this project. It was $1,800 from Mr. Schaefer and then $2,500 subsequently from Mr. Schaefer, and Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer.
I'll offer $1,500 from the third district.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,500 to Westside New Beginnings Incorporated for safety streetlights from District 3's Councilmatic grant. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
And the next one is Rehoboth Beach Sportsplex Group. They're requesting $5,000 to upgrade their maintenance equipment. There are no previous grants to this organization. Mr. Schaefer, placed on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer.
I will offer $1,500 from the third district account, and just remind everybody that this this organization does serve children from all over the county.
Thank you. I have a motion, Mr. Schaefer.
A second.
Second, Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,500 from the third district council bank account to Rehoboth Beach Sportsplex Group for upgrades to their maintenance equipment. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next one is Missipillion Performance Series is requesting $3,500 for their musical ensembles program. No previous grants to this organization. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer.
I'll offer $1,000 from the third district account.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 from District 3 Council Bank account to the Missipillion Performance Series for the presentations of duo Soro and cathedral music ensembles. Question on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one, AIDS Delaware is requesting $1,000 for their AIDS Walk Delaware program. Last grant received for this event was in the amount of $1,000, which was $500 for Mr. Schaefer and $500 for Mr. Hudson. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer.
I will offer $1,000 from the third district account.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 from District 3's council bank account to AIDS Delaware Incorporated for their AIDS Walk Delaware program. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, and the next one is Little League Baseball with the Woodbridge Little League. They're requesting $15,000 for their Build Fields program. The last grant for this organization was the amount of $1,500 to replace a pitching machine by Mr. Vincent. Ms. Green placed on the agenda.
Mr. Green.
I will donate $3,000 from my council by district for the Build Fields for Woodbridge.
Motion, Mrs. Green, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, to grant $3,000 from District 2's Council Bank account to Little League Baseball Incorporated Woodbridge Little League for their Build Fields program. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next one is Chamber of Commerce for Greater Milford. They're requesting $2,000 for their Riverwalk Freedom Festival. Last grant received for this event was $500 for Mrs. Green. Mrs. Green placed on the agenda.
Mrs. Green?
I will donate $1,000 from my council money account for the Riverwalk Freedom Festival.
Motion, Mrs. Green, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 from District 2 Council Bank account to the Chamber of Commerce for Greater Milford Incorporated for the Riverwalk Freedom Festival. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, the next three were put on by Mr. Riley. Mr. Riley's not here. I haven't talked to him. Would the rest of the council like to defer them a week?
Yeah, well, we should. Let's defer 8, 9, and 10 until next Tuesday. Mr. Riley's here.
Yeah.
That way he can deal with those. Before we go, Mr. Moore, I certainly want to recognize our dear friend in the back of the room, retired Councilman Finley Jones, who's here all the way from Vancouver to visit with us. That's a great trip. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first one I have is in Ms. Green's district, an ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an electrical substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Bing and Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 37.7482 acres, more or less.
I will introduce
it. Mr. Green introduces it.
And the last one is in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance to amend the future land use map of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel number 234-6.00-6.02.
I'll introduce
it. Mr. Hudson introduces it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Council member comments. Any council member comments? I will say yesterday I went to the ribbon cutting of the new Bay Health facility on Route 9. It's impressive. It's going to be very nice for this area of the county for sure. It's going to be a big help to people having to ride much farther than that to see medical care. So it's going to be a good thing for this county. Entertain motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Mr. President, can I talk this one second?
Oh, Lord, here we go. I tried to get this done.
It's always a pleasure to see everybody. I really do appreciate it. And I will tell you, only a couple people know I'm representing Dan Kramer today. Anyway, it's always a pleasure, you know, and I enjoy my job, to say the least. And Todd, you got a terrible job. You're trying to keep everybody straight. It's always a pleasure to see everybody, and I appreciate my pension check every month. Thank you very much.
And your
not raising my taxes.
And your health care.
Yeah. My health care, that's true.
Okay.
But is everybody, I do appreciate your job, because I know what it's like. Some days, it's great. Most of the days, it's not that great. Thank you very much for representing us, and keep the people in mind.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Billy. Entertain motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Shaver, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take a vote, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Yes, we're now adjourned. Thank you, everybody.